The youth in dominion. The life of Joseph. I believe that this will be part 3. Be part 3. Really? Part 4? Oh, wow. Yes, part 4. This will be part 4. Now, we have been studying the life of Joseph. And first of all, we saw that Joseph was a person. At the age of 30, he was in dominion. And he, if we were to look at the characteristics of the life of Joseph, first of all, can the media help us? He existed with a clear difference. Secondly, he existed with a positive stand for something. Third, he existed as a person of conviction. Fourth, he maintained submission to spiritual authority. He was not a rebel. He was not an Absalom. Five, he made a difference wherever he was found. Six, he possessed and maintained the presence of God. Seven, he was faithful. Number 8 is what we'll deal with this morning, and that is be upright. 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 Genesis chapter 37, verse 7 was a definition, or is a definition, of the life of Joseph. He said, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." He stood upright. Upright. Uprightness was a major definition of the character of Joseph. That vision was not just defining a vision of his future. It was a detailed description of his character. My sheaf stood upright. But as we examine the life of Joseph further, we discovered that it was not only his grass bundle that stood upright, his life stood upright. His motives stood upright. His conscience stood upright. His utterances stood upright. If you are going to experience the Joseph order of future, the Joseph order of destiny, you must be a man, a woman who has a stand that is upright. Your conscience upright. Motives upright. Conduct upright. Utterance upright. There are many people today that cannot tell you one thing and you can hold to it. They can't say one and it means one. They can't say two, it means two. There are many people today, the person you know in church is different from the person you know in school. The person you know in church is different from the person you know in the house. Or you know among other friends. If we are going to have the Joseph, and I can stop here and go. If you want to end right up, you must live upright. Did you see that? If you want to end right up, you must live upright. There are so many people today who want to be up, to be right up, and they are not upright. But let's begin to define what this uprightness is all about. Very, very quickly. Number one, uprightness is referring to, number one, existence with a clean, clear conscience that is alive. Existence with a clear conscience that is alive. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. He said, and hearing, do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. There are people whose consciences are not clean. Consciences are not clear. Conscience is dead. It's not alive. They kill without qualms. They steal without qualms. They rape without conscience. They destroy people's character behind them without conscience. They bear false witness without conscience. They lie against another without conscience. You know what happened? In my secondary school, from 5, secondary school, that is final class, white class, 40 years ago. A classmate of mine was lied against by a junior student who said he caught him in a class with a girl. It was a mixed school, boys and girls school. He caught him in a class with a girl in immorality. This boy's father was a teacher in our school. Do you understand? Can you understand how the child of a teacher was accused of such a thing and expelled from school in WAEC class? He wrote WAEC from outside, expelled in SS3, let's say. Only for about 35 years later, for the other person to say, I'm sorry, I lied against you. I lied against you. I'm so sorry. See, I was just envious of your popularity, envious of your profile. Now, the girl in question was disowned by the father. All manner of negative consequences. Both of them couldn't recover from it for years. One wicked, conscienceless human being. Little brat lied. You won't do that when you are upright, when you have a conscience that is awake. You know that whatever will hurt you will hurt another. What you don't want any to do to you, you won't do to them. Living with a conscience that is clear, living with a conscience that is clean. Living with a conscience that is awake. You literally can't hurt a fly. That was Joseph. Upright. He couldn't stand people who were sad. What does uprightness refer to? Number two, it refers to avoiding the path of crookedness or questionable actions. In life, avoiding the path of crookedness or questionable actions in life. Concerning Job, in Job chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. He was perfect, upright, he feared God, and suitable, avoiding the path of crookedness. Anything that is not straight, you are not involved. Anything that is not tidy, you are not involved in. Anything that is not clear, you are not involved in. Avoiding the path of crookedness and questionable actions. There are those who embrace the path of crookedness and questionable actions. What is uprightness talking about? Number three, it is avoiding actions that can't stand the test of scrutiny. Actions that cannot stand the test of scrutiny. John chapter 1 verse 5 said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Actions that can't withstand such light. Actions of darkness. You say, be not partakers of unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That was somewhere in Ephesians chapter 4. Be not partakers of unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Whatever is shabby, you are not involved. Whatever cannot stand scrutiny, you are not involved. What is uprightness talking about? Number four, it is existence in the fear of God. Existence in the fear of God, which involves hatred for evil and love for right. Existence in the fear of God, which involves hatred for evil and love for right. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13, the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Involves hatred for evil and love for that which is right. Psalm 45 verse 7. 45 verse 7. He said, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Around you, you may not stop evil, but you hate it with a passion. And every devil knows that you hate it. They know your identity. You are inside a vehicle and a policeman is trying to collect bribe from a driver. You may not be able to stop the driver, but heaven bears you witness that you hate it with a passion. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? In my university in those days, I felt like going to remove the stick of cigarette from the hand of the smokers and remove the bottle of beer from their front. You hate it with such passion. You love what is right. You hate what is evil with a passion. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There are those who are tolerant of evil. You are seated there with your coke in front of you, and your friend is sitting right in front of you with his beer in front of him. And you are all on the same table. What kind of life, what kind of spirit are you possessing? Your girlfriend went out, I'm talking to a girl now, to sleep with men, make money, and come back with the money to cook food for you. For you to eat in the same room. You know the source of the money and you are okay. I had a schoolmate in the university whose mother was a prostitute. And the mother was sponsoring him with prostitution money. So he came to the point where he said, no. He was born again. He said, no, I won't touch this money anymore. If I didn't know the source of it, it would be all right. But this is prostitution money. He can't sponsor. See, if you use prostitution money to train a child, what is the future of that child? And for anybody who is a thief or a crook, if you use stolen money to send your children to university, what is their future? You stole from government. That's why most of the children are cult boys and all manner of terrible people, because of the source of money from where they are trained. You stole from church. Maybe you are in accounts office or you work in the money area, and you are using such money to train your children. What a curse. Generational curse. Is it too hard? I was telling my PA yesterday about the preaching. I said, those are the kind of teachings that brought us up. Today it has been so watered down to a point where you just teach children things. The young generation is mentoring the adult, determining what the adult should teach them. In our own time, actually, we didn't have a separate youth church. That's it. Whatever the adults heard, we heard. As hard as it was, we heard the hardness of it. And if we have a youth church now, it should be advantageous, broken down to our level, and then more impactful. Are you following what I'm saying here today? So that there must be that, it must be clear to everyone who know you that you hate evil. And it must be clear to everyone who know you that you love good. Not that you are judgmental. Can I give you an example of what I mean? A man dreamt a dream. He was in South Africa, pastor. He dreamt a dream where a woman seduced him in the dream, and he fell into sin in the dream. And then he woke up in the physical and saw the same woman, that same person. And then he went into sin. That, yes, the same person he saw in the dream. It was powers, manipulation. The same person. And then it affected his ministry, affected his marriage. Everything was almost gone. He was afraid of who to talk to that will not judge him. Then he said, okay, he's going to come to Nigeria and meet me. Whatever I say to him or do to him, it's okay. So he flew all the way. You brought him, my PA brought him to me. And he said, this is what I did. This is what happened. This is my problem. First thing I did was to lay hands on his back. Say, it is well with you. That man from South Africa. It's well with you. It's well with you. I'm happy you came. I'm happy you are bold to come. From the story you have told, you didn't deliberately go out for sin. This is what happened to you. We'll walk through it. Place him on the fast. Give him a book to read. Your character and your destiny. After the fast, I took him to this altar. Laid hands on him. Set him free. Paid his airfare back to Lagos, back to South Africa. So we are not talking about judgmental operation. You hate the sin. You love the sinner. You don't destroy the sinner with his wrong. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That man got restored. 1 year later, he was here on the altar, testifying how God helped him. Life is back. Ministry is back. Marriage is back. Everything is back. So when I talk about hatred for evil and love for wrong, for right, I'm not talking about a judgmental operation where I'm holier than thou, and then you, that's not what I'm talking about. You just hate what is wrong and love what is right. What does it entail? Number 5, what does it entail? Uprightness entails, number 5, is it entails living by God's standards and principles for living. God's standards and principles for living. Joseph lived by God's standards and God's principles for living. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 13. The Bible said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. How does God want me to live as a single? How does God want me to live as married? How does God want me to live as a student, as a child? What is expected of me in the class? What is expected of me in financial dealings and dealings with other people? The standards of God. Uprightness is living by God's standards and principles for living. There are many who don't live by any standards at all. And like I said to people, you don't stand out without standards. If anybody must stand out in life, there must be standards, God's principles and standards for living. So what have we said so far concerning the definition of uprightness? Existence with a clean, clear conscience that is alive, not dead. It is avoiding the path of crookedness or questionable actions in life. It is avoiding actions that can't stand the test of scrutiny. It is existence in the fear of God, which involves hatred for evil and love for right. It's living by God's standards of living, standards and principles for living. Number six, it is existence with a consciousness of the consequences of life's actions. You exist with the consciousness of the consequences of life's actions. That is, you are conscious of the fact that unrighteousness separates you and God. We are going to look into that shortly. You are conscious of the fact that unrighteousness makes you vulnerable to enemy attack. You are conscious of the fact that unrighteousness ends you in hell. You are conscious of the fact that there are lifestyles. Okay, let me give you a practical story. My wife, when we came to Abuja newly, practiced medicine for about a year and a half. Can sit down. And she met one man in the clinic who was both a smoker and a drunkard. He was both hypertensive and diabetic. The smoking will worsen the hypertension, apart from bronchiogenic cancer. And the alcoholism is worsening the diabetes. And he was on both of them. And he was advised to stop, and he said, oh no, you know, it's a habit that you have learned for a long time, and it's hard to leave, you know. Now, he continued smoking and drinking until his health, he went into coma, diabetic ketoacidosis, and then the hypertension was almost killing him. By the time he was out, there was no sermon that was needed to stop him from drinking or to stop him from smoking. So, much later, he looked very fresh, very clean and healthy looking. All the alcoholic fishy, I remember his name and his face till date, all disappeared. So I said, what happened to you? He said, he has stopped smoking. He has stopped drinking. He looked very fresh. Yes. So who preached to you? Nobody. Who prayed for you? Nobody. Affliction prayed for him. Consequences preached to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was clean of alcohol. I mean, in the face of death, he needed to choose smoking or dying. He needed to choose drinking or dying. So, apart from the word of God, when you have the consciousness of consequences at the back of your mind, it gives you caution. One young girl went to meet a doctor that is not a good doctor. They said, you are still a virgin at this age? It will cause you sickness. It will disturb your system. This girl went and gave herself to a man. That doctor said, if I am still a virgin, it will affect my system and my body. Gave herself to a man. Can you believe that? Sleep with me. Let me lose my virginity. That one encounter was HIV. First one. One. May you never see such a doctor. That one encounter, that one, one, just once. I preached it, it wrote a tract some time back titled Once is Enough. So when you have that consciousness of consequence, finally, number seven, uprightness happens when we live with the end in mind. Let me phrase it how I want to phrase it. Existence with the end in view. Existence with eternity in view, with the end in mind. That how I live in this world, one day I'm going to meet my maker. I'm going to meet my creator. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. The Bible says, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that is judgment. And how I live today, I will account for it tomorrow. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, everything we did, with every secret thing, whether they are good or whether they are evil, everything, everything open, everything secret, everything everywhere, God will bring them into judgment. So, living with that in mind, it imparts caution to your life. Let's start it again from the beginning. We said that uprightness involves a clean, clear conscience that is alive, avoiding the path of crookedness or questionable actions of life. Avoiding actions that can't stand the test of light or scrutiny. Existence in the fear of God, which involves hatred for evil and love for right. Living by God's standards and principles for living. Existence with the consciousness of the consequences of life's action. That again, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 can be added to that side. All right, and then finally, existence with the end in view. Hallelujah. 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 What is the profit of uprightness? The Bible said God has not called us to serve Him in vain. Number one is the establishment of divine presence. The presence of God is around the man who lives in upright. The establishment. There is a fillable presence around the upright. There is a bankruptcy of presence around the crooked. The establishment of divine presence. Psalm 24, verse 1, all the way to verse 3. Say, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell there. Now, start from verse 2. Okay, verse 3. Verse 3. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Who is the person that will stand in the presence of God? He said, he that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, and has not sworn deceitfully. This is the person that can stand with God. I don't know what you want to carry, but I want to carry God's presence. I don't know what is your passion in life, but if carrying the presence of God is a passion, then uprightness is a pathway. If carrying the presence of God is a passion, he said, your iniquities have separated between you and God. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. Iniquities have separated between you and God. If is the presence of God that you desire, that fillable, tangible presence to mark your generation, then uprightness is your way. Number two is the establishment of authority. I said earlier on that to be upright is to be right up. establishment of authority, your spiritual authority is confirmed by your upright stand. John chapter 14 and in verse 30, Jesus said, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." Spiritual authority. Where the devil cannot stand before you. The righteous are bold as a lion. Authority. Proverbs 28 verse 1. Proverbs 30 verse 30. The lion is the strongest among beasts, and it turns not away for any. The establishment of divine presence, the establishment of authority. Number three is the flow of the anointing. Uprightness compels the flow of the oil. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 8. He said, "Let thy garments be white, always white, and let thy head lack no ointment." If your garment is white, your head cannot lack oil. If your garment is stained, your head must lack oil. If your garment is white, your head cannot lack oil. If your garment is stained, your head must lack oil. That's why there is such a shortage of anointing in our generation. Such a shortage of raw power in our generation. Because clean garments are few. Anybody following what I'm saying here today? Number four is the avoidance of satanic resistance. Uprightness make you escape satanic resistance. There are people whose lives are resisted by the devil, and uncleanness will increase that resistance. Fire. You know, life is a transaction. For everything you want to get, there is something you give. Just ensure that what you are giving is not bigger than what you are getting. That is transaction for loss. Oh yes, that pleasure you want to get, there is something you are giving away. We'll look at that shortly. And many people transact for loss. Esau transacted for loss. He got food and gave birthright. Is that equal? Food of one day, not food for life. Food of, not even one day, food of one meal. One lunch. And you gave away the whole of your right, your birthright. That is the kind of transaction with people making life. Look at Joshua, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. That was Joshua the high priest. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. There are people that are moving. You are seeing only them, but there is something resisting their right hand. You see only them passing, but something passed with them. Why is Satan resisting Joshua? Keep going. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. God called Joshua. Joshua called Satan. He didn't call him with mouth. He called him with his life, with his garment. Satan had a legal right to stand and resist him. Why are you fighting? Why is this boy struggling all the time? He's masturbating all the time. Why is this one struggling all the time? Pornography is too much. That unclean garment is an invitation to the enemy. And if you will make up your mind to clean your house and clean your life and live in uprightness, you can resist satanic resistance. And today, anybody wearing a filthy garment, conscious
consciously or unconsciously, I decree it is set on fire. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. It is set on fire.
I met a student in the university in those days who was possessed with a lying spirit. If he wants to say truth, it will be a lie. Joke is a lie. Everything is a lie. Such a person will face satanic resistance. Somebody committed a grievous offense against God some time back, and he said the next day he went to work, and the next day they gave him sack letter from work. Sack letter. The people didn't know what they did, whatever he did. But in the realm of the spirit, it was clear. That will never be your portion. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. It is the avoidance of satanic resistance. Number five is the establishment of boldness and faith towards God. Uprightness gives you boldness and faith towards God. Boldness in life. Boldness to resist the devil. Boldness to speak when you need to speak. In Proverbs 28 and in verse 1, the Bible said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The lack of uprightness is the loss of boldness, is the loss of confidence at the place of prayer. There are times where the devil will be telling some people, who do you think you are? Why do you want God to answer you? Shut up your mouth. In fact, the prayer can't flow. It can't flow. The conscience is too weighed down for the prayer to come out with authority. In those days, medical students went on evangelism in the ward. You know, and then this day, some team from among our people went to the psychiatry ward to evangelize. And as they were coming, a possessed madman looked at one of the sisters and said, you too, you are coming. Other people are coming here. You too, you are coming. She reversed. Right? Because that was not a normal person. That was a devil talking. And the devil could identify. And if there was nothing wrong, the person could have said, shut up, you foul spirit. But there was a reversal. Because there was no confidence to fire back at that devil. Am I communicating? How many of you know that confidence is needed in life? Life is full of battles. You need your confidence. You need your boldness of faith. You need your authority. You need to be able to move where you need to move. And this happens when you walk in uprightness. It's the establishment of boldness and confidence at the place of prayer. Somebody say a loud amen. Finally, numbers. So the final. That's number five. Number six is the establishment of positive influence and impact. Positive influence and impact on your world. When you are upright, your influence is positive. People who want to listen to you are plenty. People who want to be influenced by your life are plenty. You can have make a positive mark on your world by your life that is upright. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They observed their lives. And these people live so much like Christ that they have generated such an influence. Listen. God says we should be fruitful and multiply. You are not meant to live to yourself and die to yourself. At least one human being should follow your steps. Am I communicating? In the whole world, one person should be able to ask you about the secret of your life. Show me what you are doing. What steps are you taking? How is your prayer life? How is your study of the word? What do you do with God? Why do you find so much favor with God? Why are you where you are with God? Why are you where you are in life? Somebody should be able to ask you. If there is nobody struggling to learn from you, your life is wasting. If there is nobody at all who is asking you any question, who wants to become like you, who wants to take a step after you, whether they are your juniors or your contemporaries, how do you do this? How are you stepping? How are you running like this? How are you maintaining yourself? Why are you not falling into temptation like others? What are you doing? If there is nobody who is asking you such a question, in all probability, your life is wasting. And God's plan is that we be fruitful. We multiply. It is your uprightness. Character compels followership. Positive character. Leadership is established with positive character. You don't beg people to follow you or to learn from you. They beg you to learn from you. They come under pressure to learn from you. When they see that you have a more overbearing character than themselves. Am I communicating? All these reasons are reasons enough to be upright. Who wants to hear the counsel of a prostitute? Who is looking for instruction from an armed robber? Except on how to rob? How does it matter the advice of a drug baron? A ritual is a killer. We don't want to hear anything from these people. We want to hear something from someone who is upright, right up. Want to hear something. Who wants to hear an advice from somebody who made his own marriage to fail by his hands? What do you want to hear? But somebody can come now and say, sir, can you show me the way of marital harmony and dignity? Can you show me the way of serving the Lord? And your children love the Lord with you. You are not forcing them to serve God. On their own accord, they love God. What is it? How do you do it? People have asked me such a question. How do you do it? How do you do it that you love God, your children love God? Not that they feel that they are being forced to come to church. But of their own, they come to church. They go to church. What do you do? One of the things I tell them, I say, be real in front of them. Let the you they know on the altar be the same you they see at home. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to anybody here at home? So it is important. If this is your desire, the establishment of positive influence and impact on your world is very, very important. And finally, I said finally twice, is the establishment of the blessing of God. God blesses the upright. God blesses the upright. I think it is in Proverbs chapter 11, I believe in verse 11. It said the blessing of the Lord. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So there is a blessing that comes for the upright. In Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He said, this person shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He that has a clean hand must receive the blessing from the Lord. Psalm 1, verse 1 to verse 3, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The blessing of the Lord is upon the life of the upright. But crookedness aborts the blessing. We are going to Madagascar next week, Uganda, a few weeks' time. Nobody has been put under any financial pressure. We are not going there to collect offerings. I don't have one church checkbook in my possession. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No crooked deals. But the financial supply is massive. Work is going effortlessly globally. Effortlessly globally. Am I communicating? What is this? And those who are looking for how to be crooked in every way, they are unable to assess even a tenth of such blessings. They are unable to. They won't be able to successfully host one crusade at the level of millions that go into one for a year. Imagine someone doing three crusades in 1 week with no drop in quality at different locations. 1 week. Countries. We did Ghana and Togo in 1 week. From one country to another. 1 week. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You will not fail. You will not fail. All these children connected to this oil. You have seen God's help and mercy and reality. You will not fail.
You will not fail.
Shout the Lord and say amen. Take your seat. And let's look at the points from one to the other. First and foremost, it's a uprightness will establish for you divine presence. Number two, authority. Number three, the flow of the anointing. Number four, avoidance of satanic resistance. Number five, establishment of boldness and faith towards God. Number six, the establishment of positive influence and impact on your world. Number seven, the establishment of the blessing of God. Somebody say a loud amen. Let me add a word on the subject of moral purity. I needed to add just one word here because the youth generation is a peculiar age bracket, peculiar generation, in which the pressure and the temptation is very, very high. For many reasons. One, societal influence. Influence of friends. Influence of society. We have an appeal in our world today. Anything that is advertised, even if it's a refrigerator, is either a man or a woman. If it's a phone, or a half-dressed person. Everything is having an appeal. The car. Secondly, as we grow, there are hormonal interplays. When you begin to arrive at puberty, for the men and both of them, when the menstrual cycle begins to come, and then for the men, when the pubic hairs and all of that starts coming, there are hormonal build-up. And this build-up of hormone are working on the system. And then it becomes very intense at a certain time. As a woman grows, the ovulation period becomes an intense period. In the animal kingdom, they call it a heat period. So all these things come into play in our lives. And then if we are not careful by the influence of friends, then we become ushered
into a life
whose implication we don't know.
Into a lifestyle whose consequences we don't know. And I would like to help us understand a little of the scriptural consequences of living carelessly and living without moral purity. When we grew up, we made up our mind to live clean and to marry clean. That is, nothing until marriage. We had other guys who are already living together. We have other people who will boast of how many girls they've met in one day. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some of those people are no more alive. Some are alive, but life is nothing. In their 50s, some in their 60s. So is there any scriptural understanding we must possess? Because the matter of man and woman is a transaction. And we must understand it. That's what I said earlier on. When I said, this man's sleeping, tell him to wake up. That what I'm saying is very important. Open your eyes. Okay? Sleeping at this time is complete error. How many of you think it's very, very important? How many people have gone to their premature grave with HIV? Premature grave with liver cell, hepatitis and liver cirrhosis and cancer. How many people have gone? Blocked fallopian tubes from repeated infections. And then ectopic pregnancy from the blocked fallopian tube. And then cut off one of the pregnancies. I'm not saying that is the reason for all ectopics, but it's part of it. Endometrial synecdoche from abortions. And all of the consequences, which is not even what I want to talk about right now. So it's very, very important that you safeguard your life in that regard at this age. That this matter is beyond flesh and flesh or beyond just pleasure getting. It's deeper than that. Now let's read the passage on the experience of Judah. I'll read three of them for you and give you about seven implications of what happens in immoral transactions. In Genesis chapter 38, verse 18 to verse 22. Genesis 38, verse 18 to 22. So Judah had a son. Sons died. He had a daughter-in-law by the name Tamar. And Tamar expected that Judah would give Shelah his son to marry her, and Judah didn't. So Tamar pretended that she was a harlot on the road. Can you move from verse 14? Let's start around verse 14 or 15. And so she decided to sit by the highway. Now she put her widow's garments off from her, covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. Are you following the story? When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot. That is not too good for Judah, because she had covered her face. That is saying something terrible about Judah. It means that Tamar knows about Judah and knows what can catch Judah. If you understand Judah and understand that Judah is the great grandfather of David and Solomon, then you will understand that there is a challenge in that line. But we'll look at it another day. Judah, look at that now. Judah now, and he turned unto her by the way and said, go, I pray thee, let me come unto you. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what will you give me before you come into me? So there is always something you are giving. It's an exchange. And he said, I will send you
a baby goat from the flock. And she said, before the baby goat arrives, give me a pledge. I need a guarantee, collateral, till you send it.
And he said, what shall I give you? And she named what she wanted. Number one, your signet. Number two, your bracelets. Number three, your staff that is in your hand.
And he gave it to her and came in into her, and she conceived. Unwanted pregnancies, unwanted infections, all of them are the outcome. I will not bore you with the rest of the story.
But later on, Judah sent the baby goat to retrieve his signet, his bracelet, his staff. He said, where is the harlot that sat in the open place here? They said, there's no harlot in this place.
There is no harlot in this place. No harlot here at all. That was when Judah knew that he entered Wahala. Wahaloos. One chance.
So now they say, Tamar is pregnant. Tamar is pregnant. Judah said, bring her out. Let her be set on fire. Because she has committed whoredom in her widowhood. She's still meant to be mourning her husband, and now she's pregnant. Let's set her on fire.
And Tamar said, I'm ready to be set on fire. But this staff, this signet ring, this bracelet, give it to him and ask him, by the owner of this one is whom I'm pregnant for. They said, trap caught rabbit. And rabbit looked at his wife and said, are my eyes red? And rabbit's wife said, I cannot tell the redness of the eyes until the owner of the trap arrives. That is where we'll tell how red the eyes are.
That was when Judah said, okay, I'm sorry. It is true. But I want you to know the implication of what you give away.
Whether you're a man or a woman. It's, when you give what you give, when a man gives out that seed, it is beyond the seed. That which comes out of the man, you know what I'm talking about. That which is a conclusion of that transaction that the man gives and the woman receives. It is beyond pleasure. It is beyond giving away of a biological seed. It is beyond giving away something that could lead to conception. Let's start with the first one. Number one is the signet. That is authority. You give away your signature. Your authority. Whatever authority you carry in the realm of the spirit, you are transacting it away. Man or woman.
That is why you see young men, they haven't started but they have finished. They are giving away their authority every day. The woman also is giving away her authority every day. Signature is contract, is agreement. Anybody who has copied your signature can access your resources. Am I communicating?
Number one, transaction away is authority. Number two is prosperity.
The bracelet, women sell their gold to get money. Actually, they store money in gold. Your prosperity, your resources, your opportunities. By the release of that seed, you gave away. And the one receiving it is the same transaction. Both the releaser and the recipient is the same transaction. Number three, the staff is your responsibility, your life's assignment. They call it staff of office. Impossible. You are giving away your responsibility, giving away your assignment. That is how come some people say they give my assignment to somebody else. Somebody else, somebody took my place. Somebody took my office. How can one transaction make you to give away your authority, your signature, your prosperity, to give away your responsibility, your staff of office? What else do you give away? Number four, your strength. Proverbs 31 verse 3 said, give not your strength to women or men, as the case may be, nor your ways to that which destroyeth kings. That is your strength, emotional strength, mental strength, physical strength and energy. Could that be the reason why there are so many lazy people today in our generation? Lazy young men and lazy young women. They don't have the energy of their fathers. They don't have the energy of the generation ahead of them. Being weakened by transactions. Number six, you give away your consecration. Judges chapter 16 verse 19, when they cut the hair of Samson, that hair represents his consecration. And she made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from his own strength again, but now they shave off his hair. Verse 20. And he said, the Philistine be upon this Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. And she said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Keep going. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Can stop there. Consecration. What is the meaning of that? Prayer life is dying. Study of the word is dying. Spiritual fire, the one we heard about, is dying. Your consecration is gone. Fasting is not easy. Consecration is gone. Give away your consecration. That was number one. Number five. Number six, they pluck out his eyes. You give away your vision. Your life's vision. The team plenty. You know, Satan is a bad boy. He convinced Adam to take an apple, and they lost the whole of their future. He said, the devil is not a promise keeper at all. He will over promise, under deliver. That is your vision. You know, let me give you an example. Look at pornography, for example. Or anything that is an addictive substance. It occupies the mind of the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are looking forward to the next time they take the next drug. Next time they go on the next Indian hemp. Next, the picture of the last one they watch is there. And then they are anticipating the next one. And when they can go to the closet and hide and watch something. The same mind you need to make progress, you are using it to harbor iniquity. The same mind you need to think future, you need to plan and program your future, that same mind is captured. And vision also refers to revelation. You open the Bible, you can't see anything. Because the transaction took your vision, took your life, took your insight. What number are we going?
Number seven, you trade away your liberty. They bound Samson. They chained him. Your liberty. So there are people who get possessed by the people they transacted in. I don't want to frighten you, but we have seen agents of the devil who said that they have serpent in their reproductive system. I'm sure you heard that. So when the man thought he was giving out seed, it was entering a serpent's mouth. And the truth is that it's not, these things are not written on anybody's face. And vice versa. The man might be just, Bible says that is joined to the harlot is one flesh, one spirit. That is, you merge together. His ancestral causes join your own. Do you understand? So bondage. Active person becomes sleepy all of a sudden because he just encounters somebody with a spirit of slothfulness. Intelligent person became dull because he's transacting with somebody that is a dullard. But the good thing is, when you are within the marital context and the exchanges happen, it's a multiplier. It's a multiplier. Every seed you give into your wife is a multiplier of your is a two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. And every seed you receive from the right person is a multiplier. So when you are moving about on campus, and one joker is coming there and say, young lady, I love you, man. Say, go away with your liabilities. Or one is sending you messages to seduce you. You say, I'm aware. I'm not ready for the transaction. I'm not ready for the transaction and what can come out of it. I'm not ready for it. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything here today? So it's not trying to favor you. It's not a favor association. It's not a favor call. You look so beautiful. Say, I'm aware. God bless you. See you later. Praise the Lord. But you will make it. How many of you know that there are so many people who wish they heard these things? The things you are hearing now. They heard this at your age. There are people who heard it, but they heard it too late. They have already transacted plenty. Too much water under the bridge. Plenty. And they are now trying to recover the damage control. But one thing I want to assure you also. So no matter how far you went in the wrong direction, a U-turn is possible. It's never too late with God. Never too late with God. I know there are many who may be full of regrets right now. How did what I do to my life? I want to let you know, it is never too late with God. I will round off this teaching right now by the pathway to uprightness. What do I do? The way of uprightness. Very, very quickly, and then we shall rise and we shall pray. Number one is the way of company with God. When you company with God, when you keep the company of God, you must walk and live in uprightness. The way of company with God. He is the consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24. When you hang around him, he will consume everything in you that does not belong. Every filth in you. Now, in Matthew 26 and verse 58, when did Peter... When was it that Peter began to fall? The Bible says Peter followed him from afar. Peter began to deny Jesus when he began to follow Jesus from afar. When you begin to give distance to your master, you begin to fall. When you begin to stay far from the master, stay far from prayer, Stay far from church. Stay far in your relationship with God. You begin to fall. You begin to fail. You begin to crash. Peter followed from afar. Peter followed from afar. Make up your mind so you don't follow from afar. It is the way of company with God. Number two is the way of living in the Word. D.L. Moody said, the Word of God will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Word. Living in the Word. John chapter 15, verse 3. John 15, 3. The Bible said, and just John 15, 3. He said, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. You are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. The way of living in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 9 and in verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 and in verse 11. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. You cleanse your way by taking it to the Word. And then he said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The way of living in the Word. Number three is the way of living in prayer. Now, living in the Word means you wake up in the morning studying the Word. You wake up in the morning studying the Word. You go through the day listening to the Word. Number three is the way of living in prayer. The way of living in prayer. The way of living in prayer. Luke chapter 9 and in verse 29. Luke 9, 29. The Bible said concerning Jesus. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. As he prayed. Your garment must be whitened. The process of prayer is a purification process. It whitens your garment. His garment was white as he prayed. Number four is the way of maintaining the right company. Your friends matter in the area of uprightness. Maintaining the right company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The way of maintaining the right company. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. The way of maintaining the right company. Ensure that, I'm sure we must have talked about friends and all of that one way or the other in this conference. Number five is the way of following the Spirit, not the flesh. Following the Spirit, not the flesh. Because if you live by the flesh, you just live for failure. Following the Spirit, not the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, and it cannot be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Chapter verse 12 to 13. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the Spirit body, you shall live by the way of following the Spirit. Don't follow your flesh. Your flesh wants you to continue sleeping. You continue sleeping, you fail. Your flesh wants you to smoke. You smoke, you fail. Your flesh wants you to watch the bad movie. You watch it, you destroy yourself. Your flesh wants you to go after the girl or go after the man. You tell the flesh, no, not now, and not here, and not this one. You say no. The capacity to say no to the flesh. That is what discipline is. Discipline is making yourself to do what is required in order to experience what is desired. Discipline. You make yourself do what is required, what you need to do in order to experience what is desired. Somebody say aloud, amen. Definitely the flesh will like to do many things. And I want to let you know today that you may not prevent a bird from flying around your head. You want to drive it, it still comes. But you can prevent it from landing in your head and making a nest. You catch it and kill it. That a suggestion came to your mind was not the sin. Hello? That was not the problem. That the suggestion remained was entertained unto implementation. That is the challenge. So as the suggestions arrive, knock them. Speak words. Load your mind with scripture. Distract yourself with vision. What did I say? Positive vision. Positive distraction. Distract yourself with what is the most important thing you need to do with your life right now. What I'm thinking about, is that the most important thing I want to achieve with my life now? Distract yourself with positive vision. Distract yourself with deep worship. Distract yourself with the pursuit of God. Open fire in tongues.
Hey!
Finally, number six is the way of accessing the grace of God from the throne of God. Accessing. What is the meaning of that? Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and verse 12. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we can live soberly, we can live righteously, and we can live godly in this present world. Some people say, can a fish be inside water and water will not touch it? How is it possible for somebody to live in this kind of world and not be affected? That's the answer. That the grace of God is instructive. It gives you power to say no to anything you need to say no to. It gives you power to say no to that boy, that girl, to that habit, to that business proposal that is not right. Power, oh no! Power to say no. That's the grace of God. And the grace is accessed at the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One day in the university I went to preach in the place they call Students Hostel. Students Village Hostel. Anybody from that side? You know Students Village Hostel. So I went and was preaching around. And in the university, you can go anywhere. So, I was just standing here, and that was the room of a girl. And I was talking to her. As I stepped into her room, she almost... that is... I don't understand exactly what was the plan. But it's like just literally. No normal person will remain sane under that climate. Whether I should abandon what I came for and catch another vision. But what I came for was preaching. Now, every time I talk about the grace of God, that teaches us to say no. That is what comes to my mind. That day, I didn't even feel if a man was there. Or even would. I felt as untouched. Unscratched. Undistracted. as I opened fire in preaching, she adjusted her life. Now the truth is, in my normal human flesh, that was a trap that would have been inescapable. Normal, that's normal person. Because I knew myself from before I gave my life to Christ. Even though God didn't allow me to go so far, and I know the reason now, because the possibility was too much. The proclivity, the tender, because anything I do aggressively. I do it. Like Paul the Apostle. Like Paul the Apostle. Hallelujah. That showed me grace. That you can be in the worst of situations and yet not be trapped. Not because of your power. Not because of your ability. Not because you are an expert in living above wrong. But His grace helps you stand up on your feet. So you go consciously to ask for grace when needed. Lord, now I'm at a point where I'm applying for grace. I want to be able to say no to the things around me right now. Lord, I'm almost tripping, but I need help. I need grace. I need help. I need your grace. I don't want to crash. I don't want to crumble. I need your grace. We're going to do two things. We'll start from the back, from the very last. That is the application for grace. We'll do three things. First, 2 to 2 minutes. First, appreciation for such a one. How many of us are truly grateful? How many of us are? Sylvester, maybe this could be a little handbook for children, but for everybody. Do you understand? Very, very little. Very little, especially those consequences. Huh? Electronic book also. So I think it's something that people can have because we have stuck in this line before, but in this sequence, in this order, I'm not sure if we have done that like this before. In this detail and in this sequence. So let's work on it. Let's get it out. Just a little handbook for young men, young women, even old men, old women. Everybody. Remind yourself of these things. Lift up your hands now. So let's begin with appreciation. Father, thank you for your word to me today. I am appreciative. Open your mouth. Lift your hands. Lift your voice and say, Father. 2 minutes. Say, Father, thank you for your word to my life. Today, I receive your word. Today, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Open your mouth and pray. Speak to God. Thank you for your word to me today. I receive your word today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, pray. Thank you for your word to me today. I receive your word to me today. Let us take a picture of the Hadith. 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 Let us take a pic Jesus' precious name. Number two, Lord, I apply for grace. I apply for grace. I apply for grace. The capacity to say no when I need to. The capacity to be unmoved by the worst of temptations. I apply for grace. Are you ready? Lift your hands and voice and say, Father,
Father,
I apply for grace. Today,
I apply
for your help to say no
to
wrong, to say yes to the right thing. I apply for grace now. Lift your voice and pray. I apply for grace today. I apply for your help to say no to wrong, that yes to the right thing. I apply for grace right now. We are going to crush the flesh. That's the final prayer. Crush the flesh. Open fire in tongues. We'll take 3 minutes for this one. Then I resist every agenda of the flesh in my life. My flesh cannot control my life. My spirit controls my life, not my flesh. I curse the root of fleshly desires. I curse the root of fleshly pleasures. I curse the root of evil passions. Dry up in my life. While this prayer is on, anybody who feel like coming to the altar to make certain things right with God, not that you are the worst of sinners, but you want to renew your relationship or your consecration or your dedication to God, trust in the Lord that this season, this conference will be your final bus stop of rising and falling and rising and falling. Then you can do that right now. Lift up your hands, your voice, and say, Father,
Father,
today,
I reject
the root of evil.
I reject
the root
of evil passion.
Evil passion.
Evil desire.
Negative passion.
Negative affection.
I reject. You can go on your knees. Those coming out. I reject the root of evil passion. Negative desire. Negative interest.
Negative passion.
Negative tendencies.
By the fire.
Of the Holy Ghost.
I curse you.
To your roots.
I command you.
To be roasted.
Every evil garment.
On my life.
Garment of evil.
Garment of defilement.
That's fire.
Nah! Open your mouth and pray. I am a Korea, 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 I am a Korea Up your hands. You have failed before and you want God to help you, you can also join. I don't want to leave this conference to go back into the kind of way I was before I came. Dr. Mr. Venture, you lead the house, both those in the front and generally, a prayer of consecration, rededication, renewal, and fresh help from God to do the right thing. Also breaking of addictions, negative appetites and desires.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray together. These lovely brothers and sisters are out here out of desperation and sincerity and genuineness of heart. If you still feel that you need to join them, I'd like you to come out. Let's make contact with the unction on this altar. Let's make an informed decision. Let's clearly put the devil to shame and say, Satan, thus far have you gone in my life and no further. Step forward here. We are going to pray. You are saying, no more. No more. No more compromise. No more shortfalls. No more defeat in my stand to stand right with God. Step forward here and join us as we pray. Let's lift up our hands as we pray now. Those of you in front, say this after me. Come quickly. Don't be sluggish about this. So that God will not be sluggish about your deliverance. So that God will not be sluggish about setting you free. God bless you. I see you all coming out. Those of you in front, lift up your hands and say, Jesus, I've come to you today in desperate need of your help. Oh God, forgive me all my sins. Oh God, I surrender every weakness to you. I surrender every shortcomings to you. And I receive today your help. Your help that passes understanding. Your help that will help me to say no to sin. Your help, like that young lady that suddenly realized the spirit of anger and malice was ended. And she said, what just happened to me? Today, I receive that help, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. All of us, let's pray together. Say, Father, I want to live a life that pleases you. I want to live a life of integrity and purity and holiness. Father, help me so that one day when I stand before the judgment throne, I will hear you say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Father, I receive your help today. And right now, every addiction in my life, everything that takes me back to hell, takes me back to sin, I refuse you now. I renounce you now. I disconnect from you now. I set myself free from you now. In the name of Jesus. And every ancestral curse that has followed me from my family line, like the curse on Judah, followed right up to David and up to Solomon. Every curse of polygamy, curse of prolificity of immorality, curse of financial lack of integrity, every curse from my ancestral line fighting me now, I refuse you. I belong to a new bloodline. I am now of the family of Jesus. Satan, your hold is hereby broken from my life in the name of Jesus. And today, I divorce myself from spirit husband, from spirit wife, from anything that puts me under pressure for immoral sin. I disconnect from pornography and every wrong association. I receive your help now in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands as God's servant prays.
Can we all start? Okay, now you can be up on your feet now. Lift your hands. We're going to, the fire that we heard about earlier on, we're going to make demands on the release of the same fire. Let it come upon my life and let this fire burn everything that is not of God. Let this fire burn every lifestyle, every habit. Maybe you have lived your life in a hurry, At a very young age, you have done things that are unimaginable. But God is a merciful God. Father, let your fire burn even the memory of the past. Let your fire burn the appetite, burn the desire, burn the evil garment. Let your fire kindle a fresh passion for righteousness, fresh passion for consecration, for the study of the word. Let it kindle a fresh passion in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Holy Lord, from above, heal us, Lord, with your love. For my heart and my flesh cries out for you, Son of God, righteous one.
To seek your face.
pure. Almighty God, we cry. Heart cries before you. There is no one that like you. Holy, holy, holy. 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 And worthy. Worthy. Take a call. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take a call. Cleanse my lips.
Start from the first.
I sit by the Lord.
I sit by the other coin into your holy place. Pass the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the priests who sing their praises, Lord. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in you. So take me to the Holy of Holies. Take me by the blood.
Up your hands. Take the call. Let's believe.
And then I say, woe is me, for I am undone, O Lord. And then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, O Lord. Please, with your call, cleanse me. Make me ready for you. Please, with your call, cleanse me.
I see the Lord of
heaven,
and his strength fills the temple. Our bodies to the ground, with each one having his wings all over. I see the Lord, I see the
Lord,
and his strength fills the temple. And his strength fill the temple. Above it to the
seraphim.
With each one of us, his sweet all around us.
And then I say,
That will remain with you for the rest of your life. You are receiving an encounter today that will positively and radically change your life the rest of your life. Take your hand. When I say in the name of Jesus, receive the fire, you scream, fire. And place your hand on your head and begin to blast it out. The yoke is broken. The chain is broken.
Soul ties are being broken. Soul ties. Ungodly soul ties are being broken. Habits and desires, appetites are being broken. Patterns of evil. That's right. Please be your God. Please be. Make me ready for you. Please with your God. Bless me. Make me ready for your new. Take your hand. Father, let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Fire to burn in infirmity and to burn iniquities and bondages. Let the fire fall. And let the fire of fresh passion for God be released. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.